Okay, 11:15, and I'm now joined by my first guest. I'm talking about a very exciting subject that actually affects everybody. And the bad news is, it's probably just going to get worse. So I'm going to be talking to Margaret Vigas, and to who is from a company called 89 East, and to Michelle Williams from Byron Remix. Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Thanks for having us.
Morning, Nick. Thanks for having us.
You'll be pleased to know that I've actually done the starter course already, okay? So we're going to be talking about this wonderful program that the government are funding free for small business. And as a little precursor, I thought I'd better actually just do it and just understand how easy. And it's brilliant. I've got to say, I now know a lot more about hackers, scammers, et cetera, et cetera.
Great to hear.
Let's start at the beginning, Marguerite. So 89 Degrees East, interesting company based in Byron.
Yeah, that's right. Our main offices are in Melbourne and Canberra, but we've got a little satellite office here in Byron. And so we're implementing this program, Cyber Wardens, on behalf of the federal government and COSBOA, the Council of Small Business Australia. So we're helping them with running the program and the online courses and the marketing and spreading the word through community activations like this.
Has it just started, or how long have you been going?
Started in November
23. Oh, okay.
It's definitely been an interesting time to launch this program, where at the start we saw the awareness around cybersecurity being an issue for businesses being a lot lower. And over the past years, where we've of course seen big scams and big breaches happening with the Medibanks and the Qantases and the Cloudflare outages, everyone is much more aware of what cybersecurity means and that it could impact any business at any size. So that's definitely helped with bringing people towards the program and looking for solutions for their business on how do I make sure I protect my business.
And so why is Australian small businesses such a prime target now?
Yeah, so we see from the data that between 43 and 50% of cyber attacks are aimed at small businesses. The main reason is they're the lowest hanging fruit. They're the businesses that don't have the protection in place, that don't have IT teams and IT specialists that know how to protect a business. So it's a combination of the vast majority of businesses in Australia are small businesses, and the fact that small business owners are busy. They're the CEO, they're the marketing manager, they're the cleaner. They don't have time to think about these additional things that are just added onto their list of things to be responsible for as business owners. So often the security is not in place. So it's an easy target for scammers.
That's a really good point. I'm sure. Do you think some of them feel that, look, we're just too small? Why would anybody want to hack my business?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the main myths that we're trying to bust. You're not too small. It's not scammers are no longer like cherry picking which business to hack. It's an automated process. They've got systems in place where they just swipe to look at vulnerabilities in software. So they're really looking just for in an opportunistic way. Through systems to see which businesses have their digital doors unlocked. So what's the easiest place of entry? And it's then also not about the money you've got in your bank. It's the access to data that you have. So even though you might not be a big business in terms of revenue, you still have tax file numbers of your staff members.
Yes.
You still have supplier bank details. You still have email databases. So it's the data that's the value. It's not the money in your bank.
Yeah, you use that term digital doorway. So what are the doorways that actually are sort of vulnerable in small businesses? Should we talk about some of those, the ways that these hackers get into my company?
Yeah. And I think everyone has seen these emails. It is those phishing emails. It is those invoice fraud emails. A good example of an invoice fraud email is where a hacker accesses your supplier database and sends an email of, hey, we've changed our banking details. Could you please update these in your system? And the accounts team is not aware of that being a fake email, is processing the update in their account system and is making the payments into that hacker's bank account instead of in the supplier's bank account. Phishing refers to those emails with those links that you shouldn't click. So it's about having those emails that look legitimate and that are asking you to act something, often really with urgency and with acting on fear of if you don't click this now, your account will be closed. And so clicking that link is then passing information through to the hackers. So that, yeah, phishing and invoice fraud are definitely the two main.
And I'd also like to add that I think the piece that's really changes around the AI piece and how much more sophisticated, how much more they sound like the tone of like a real business or even a member of the company. So, just by listening to a text message or seeing, a voice message or seeing an Instagram video, they'd be able to take your voice and be able to mimic that voice, but also mimic those email tones. So it does sound legitimate.
This is the downside of AI, isn't it? This is, the dark web, the idea of faking.
I think any tool that gives more access for people is obviously going to have people looking at all the opportunities, and part of those opportunities are increasing the phishing and hacking and access that, we really need to be aware of all of these factors right now.
Now, let's talk about the next subject, and I'm going to almost bet money that most people, when we start talking about passwords, will be horrified at how easy it is to hack passwords and why we shouldn't use the same password across platforms. Let's talk about passwords. That's the big elephant in the room, isn't it?
That's right. And I'd say if your password contains your pet's name or your date of birth, it's time to change it today. It's definitely the first place of entry. The issue with reusing passwords across accounts is your password across on an account that is actually not that relevant to your business might have been hacked. But if that's the same password as for systems that are crucial to your business, hackers have systems where they can try that password in an automated way and on all these systems that you're set up on, and then they might hit the jackpot and access your email or access your e-commerce site. So it's about making sure that you've got long, strong passwords, that you have different passwords for your critical business accounts. And we always recommend using a password manager. So you've got an easy way to store those passwords for all those different accounts. And you only have to remember the one.
Yeah, I'd like to just give some recommendations for those tools. 1Password or LastPass are great tools. Because, I know that like on Google, they sometimes save your password and you try and do it, but it's quite fiddly and you don't know where to access it. So really recommending a password tool like both of those. They auto generate complex security passwords. They save it. If you set it up on Chrome or even on your mobile, it auto fills, which is also a problem, sitting there and typing in all these random passwords. But if it's auto filling it for you, you don't even need to think about it. And same on mobile. I've really loved how they've improved, and you create a new like access login and it will save that password for you on your mobile and you don't even have to think about it. So once you get this set up, it is actually, you don't even need to remember any passwords anymore. It's actually far more sophisticated and far more easy to manage, and you don't have to think about what you're putting in and just making sure that you're creating a unique password every time you access.
Yeah, and I'd like to add one more thing to that, and this is one of those acronyms that everyone's probably heard of and doesn't really know what it means. MFA, so multi-factor authentication or two-step verification, is where you receive a code on your phone, either via text or in an authenticator app. So that is a really important way. And it's really the number one way to protect people from being able to access your accounts. Because even if your password might have ended up in a breach, they can still not actually access your account because they don't have access to that second step of that verification. So that's really our number one recommendations to businesses, is to look at what are the systems that are crucial to running your business. And that can be for a health practitioner, that can be your CRM with your patient data, or for an online store, it might be their Instagram account. So for every business, the crucial platforms are different, but start there and make sure you've got your multi-factor authentication set up to have that second step to verify before someone can access your account.
And the tools to do that actually can be linked to your password manager. So I use LastPass and I put all of my multi-factor authentication into there. It's important that you don't like cross tools, because Google has one and they all send you off in different directions. So just making sure to remember that. And the other thing that I've noticed in the password managers now is pass key. So that's coming from how on our laptops and our mobiles, it's actually using Face ID or it's using fingerprint ID and it's saving that in. So you don't actually even have to get the passwords, it's actually pass key, and you'd use your Face ID or you'd use your fingerprint and it would open, increase even more security.
Okay, so guys, it's 25 past 11. If you're listening in and you've got questions, I'm sure you will have questions. If you run a small business and you haven't got yourself protected, then you should send me a text now and ask the experts in the room. Text is 0437 34 119, and we're talking with Michelle Williams and Marguerite Vigas, who are helping to promote this free program by the government. Now, let's talk a bit about the cost of not doing anything, because that's probably the hidden piece that people don't realise. Marguerite, can we talk a bit about some of the research that shows it? There's actually quite a big cost to a business?
Yeah, so the research from the Australian government has shown that it's at the moment an average of $56,000 that it costs a small business when they get hacked, and that every year we see that going up by several thousands. And that cost is not purely just money that can be taken out of your bank account. That cost is also having to pause trading, losing suppliers or losing customers. We also see small businesses that don't regain access to certain platforms. For example, small businesses that might rely heavily on their Instagram and their Instagram account gets hacked and they actually never regain that access. So their business might slow down.
Can I just jump
over
in there? That's something which is really important, isn't it? So, you know, and let's take retail sector in Byron. Probably everybody is using Insta. They get hacked and then they've got a problem, haven't they?
Correct. And it's also, and that's the downside to, as a small business, working on these large platforms like Meta that really don't care as much about the small businesses as they do about the big ad spenders. So yeah, it's really hard to regain access. In a lot of cases, people don't get access back. So one of the main tips we give people, one is, of course, again, that multi-factor authentication. Don't just have a password to log into your Instagram, but also have two admins on your accounts. So then if one admin has been locked out of their account, the other admin can quickly jump in and remove the scammer from that account.
That's genius. I hadn't even thought of that. Okay. Maybe it's not genius, maybe it's very obvious, but that's the sort of information, isn't it, that people need to understand. Don't just have one admin, have two admin. That's a great one. Hey, look, we're just going to go to one of your tracks. And Marguerite, you've sent in two choices, UFO by Sneaky Sound System or Your Nonsense Makes Sense by the 502s. I don't know the 502s. Talk me, who are these guys?
Yeah, I heard the song a little while ago, and I just think it's just a real happy song about finding a person in your life that appreciates your nonsense. And I think that applies to me, and I'm happy I've got that person in my life. So yeah, to everyone, not to be like everyone else, but just find a person that appreciates your nonsense.
Okay, in that case, we'll go to play. It's by the 502s, and the track is called Your Nonsense Makes Sense.
Laugh until we cry in the grandstand at an unspoken joke we all understand. Taking turns making punchlines with our eyes, taking turns playing jester for the group tonight. No one knows me better. We go together like birds of a feather, thick as thieves, and we all know why. Life is better with you by my side. Your nonsense makes sense. You're speaking my language when life gets hectic. You're all that I need on late nights in hard times. I love that your weirdness matches mine. I always find you just make sense to me. It just makes sense to me. People tell me you're a strange bird, but all my favorite folks in the world are a little absurd. Everybody's trying to fit in, but I'm loving every moment of us being different. Your nonsense makes sense.
You're speaking my language when life gets hectic. You're all that I need. All late nights in hard times. I love that your weirdness matches mine. I always find you just make sense to me. You just make sense to me. You're speaking my language when life gets hectic. You're all that I need. Only nights in hard times. I love that your weirdness matches mine. I always find you just make sense to me. To me.
Hey, what's up? This is Winston from Parkway Drive, and we are stoked to be announcing we will be playing Bluesfest 2026. This is Parkway's first show in Byron in over 10 years. Growing up as local lads, Bluesfest means a hell of a lot to us. We're so honoured to be able to be part of it. We'll see you guys there. Grab a ticket. Can't wait. Bluesy 2026, Parkway Drive. It's going to be a moment.
Okay, just gone 11:30. You're listening to Beats and Business on Bay FM, coming to you live from Fletcher Street. And we are talking all things cybersecurity, scammers, hackers, all of these people who frequent the dark web, wherever that is. Let's talk about actual examples. Can we relate to a business that's been affected?
Yeah, well, I think one that I think is really interesting is actually from the Gold Coast. She was putting a deposit down, big purchase was making for a business, and somebody jumped in between when the agreement was done and the deposit was actually meant to be received. Wrote an email with that was sounded very tone like to who she'd already been speaking to, and asked her to change the details and put the $250,000 into a particular bank account, and it wasn't the right bank account, it was the scammer's bank account. So she had noticed quite quickly, because she'd made a call when she did it, something didn't feel right, and so the bank was able to take that money back. But I think this we talked about this the other day, Nick, is a lot of us receive those emails, are you or text messages or notifications, are you sure that this is like a transaction that you're, yes, making? Is it something that you agree to? And I think a lot of us don't even think about it and just click it. Oh, yep, this is so annoying. So this conversation we all agreed is really about just reminding us, pay attention to those. Yeah. The reason for that is these scams are increasing. This taking of money is increasing. Banks are trying to work with their customers to improve their security around this. So just being aware that those messages are actually to help you, not to annoy you.
That's a good point, isn't it? I mean, sometimes we're looking for other people to take responsibility. In this situation, we have to be responsible ourselves, don't we? So that's where Cyber Wardens comes in, I think, Marguerite?
Yeah, that's right. And I think this human element of making people aware of what can happen to them and the increasing sophistication of scams, I think that is why it's so important that we start with that awareness piece. Like, you can get tech in place, you can get insurance in place, but really, if you're not aware of the main threats that can happen to your business and that would be critical to your business, then those tools don't help you if you don't act on them. And if so it's really where Cyber Wardens comes in, is in at that first step, is raising awareness around what are the risks that can happen to your business. It's about acknowledging that over 90% of scams are human, due to human error. So it is about, yep, people actually changing those bank details. It's not there's no hacker hacking into your system. It's a human changing the bank details in that that invoice, in that transaction. So it's about making people aware of it's the human and the culture that we need to change, not just a tech problem.
Okay, so I'm running a small business and we've got hundreds of businesses in the Shire. What should they be doing right now? Who do they contact?
You can find our courses on cyberwardens.com.au.
Yep.
So that's where you find our course catalog. So we've got a short course, as you said, the one that you did yourself. So the foundations course is 10 minutes. It's really just to make people aware of what are those key risks of what can happen to your business. What are the main red flags to watch out for in those emails and in those invoices? So to really raise that awareness in the time that someone can go and get a coffee or has a lunch break or join a webinar with your team in the afternoon. So it's really making it very accessible, acknowledging business owners are busy. So that's that 10-minute foundations course. And then there's some courses that go into a bit more depth into, for example, Safe AI. Our level 2 course is really specifically about the sophistication and the deep fakes in voice fraud that Michelle talked about before, of really acknowledging that AI is not just making life more efficient for us, but also for hackers. And then we also have a course that goes into the supply chain and the importance of understanding your place in the supply chain and making sure that that whole supply chain is safe.
Yeah, actually, you also raise another point, isn't it? It's not actually just business owners, really. It's probably anybody with a phone, isn't it?
Yeah, and even people working within a business. But yeah, anybody that's accessing technology right now has potential to be tricked into giving away their money or their details. And I think that's the other point as well, that it's not just about money, it's also about data and just having your data to be able to use it, you know, whenever they want. I think when we're looking at AI and when you're using it, you realize how fast it is and how much it's analyzing and how quick it is to give you results. Imagine that on a scaled level where these scammers are using it and they've got, you know, little bits of detail of particular people, hundreds of thousands of details that they can actually use that to keep trying to hack.
That's also another scary thing, isn't it? The fact that you've got people out there who are selling data, stolen data, whether it's a password, whether it's an email, and people are trying to assemble, aren't they, these sort of pieces of data together to...
Yeah, even with the Medibank hack that happened a little while ago, they found on the dark web that a lot of that information had just been released on the dark web. I think sometimes these guys who are hacking are saying, look, there's a vulnerability, you need to improve your cyber security and awareness, but at the same time it's not good for the people whose details get shared. And it's the same with the Optus hack, where the passports had to be replaced because it went out onto the dark web, and your passport is used for, if someone has that, imagine what accounts they can set up, credit cards, you know. So
actually, can we come back and talk about identity theft? Because that's another whole subject, isn't it? Where,
yeah, totally.
You know, if you lose your passport, somebody else could be walking around as that person using that.
And that's always happened and always been an issue. But I think the scaled version now is that, you know, it's opportunism. It's another example I have here where someone had someone emailed a business, had credit card details, so I need to place an order. Can you try these credit card details? This person was trying and they said, oh, give us $1,000 as well so we can help pay for other parts. And this guy was trying. So it's just like they will send out 1,000 emails and they'll just get one person who falls for it, and they've made the money. And the AI means that they don't actually even need to do the work. There's no call centers in Nigeria anymore making these calls.
And no Nigerian princes.
No.
Okay, so let's talk action. Okay, so if someone's listening and there's just 3 things you want them to do after this chat, what would those 3 things be?
Number 1 is definitely MFA. Turn it on. It might
multi-factor
authentication.
MFA.
Yeah, or
also
in some cases.
2FA.
Yeah, 2-step verification. Yep. So there's multiple terms for it, but it means that after entering your password, you're required to add that extra step, that extra code. Secondly, having strong passwords and unique passwords on your different accounts. And thirdly, being aware of what phishing scams can look like and educating your team on spotting a scam.
Brilliant. Now, there's an event coming up.
Yeah, there is. And I just want to put out, so I'm Michelle from The Remix. I run a lot of events around AI and emerging tech. And I guess the reason why I was really excited to have Magritte here is I just want, you know, this area I think is sometimes a little bit averse to technology, but we all do use it. And we're all here trying to work it out and trying to get our heads around it. And there is tools and support to assist with that. So, yeah, I've got a whole series of events that are coming up. I'll do, and this year, you know, I've been onto your program before and we've talked about the events before. This year I'm focusing on the builders are actually doing the work of building the technology. There's a lot going on. It's moving really fast. If you're not in that, you probably don't need to know everything that's going on. But I'll be doing a lot more focus on small business as well. And these will be around you coming and chatting to people, working out the best tools, trying things out, looking at security options that you have. The first event will be the 11th of February. The next event will be on the 25th of February. Both details are on the Remix right now. There's a lot going on in the background now that I'm getting my head around AI again stuff. It's because there's a lot of changes to structure and data and how we manage all of that, but it's quite net technical and I don't need to talk about it now.
Just come to the events.
Yeah, just come to the events. And I think what will happen is as these events happen throughout the year, I'll keep listening and hearing and understanding what people are needing and wanting and keep adapting and keep offering that so that in this region we become quite comfortable with what changes are happening and what's going on and we're riding this wave. But, you know, I think this is the piece is it can feel a bit overwhelming sometimes trying to work all this stuff out and trying to, you know, stay on top of all the security, stay on top of the changing technology. But that's why I'm running these events is for us to, you know, connect and learn that together.
Okay. Cyber Wardens, Marguerite, final words for...
Yeah, so this Thursday, we're sponsoring the Byron Tech Meetup at the North Byron Hotel starting at 5 p.m. So it's a social get-together of people that work in tech in the Byron area, and we're also there to spread the word about Cyber Wardens as a course and making sure that our people working in tech in this local community know where to send their clients to upskill in cybersecurity. We also have a webinar tomorrow with Zero. So that one, if you go to Cyber Wardens, you'll find the guest speaker webinars. And there's a big webinar on tomorrow with the general manager from Zero, who will talk about how also big software platforms are investing in increasing the security of their platforms and helping businesses stay safe in that financial space.
And if you don't know, Xero is the accounting, which is spelt with an X. If you're not using it already, Xero.
Brilliant. Okay, guys, look, thank you very much for coming in. I think it's been really quite helpful. I'm sure lots of businesses will be clicking onto Cyber Wardens or coming on Thursday or going on to the webinar. So thank you very much. Maybe we'll lock in a year's time and see whether you've managed to reduce the number of phishing and passwords and scams in the area. Hey, Marguerite, your second song got to be UFO from Sneaky Sound System. Now, you just saw them, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw them at the Shores Bay Hotel in Ballina on Friday, and it definitely took me back a few decades when I was younger and more nimble on the dance floor. But it was really great evening, great gig, great.
Yeah, this song came out 2007, didn't it?
Oh, my God.
So 20 years ago now.
Okay, here comes UFO. Thank you, guys.